Well, this morning we're going to reflect on the meaning of the Sabbath. What is Sabbath, that day that is held up for us in the scriptures? We're going to look at Mark 2:23-3:6 to see what Jesus has to say about the Sabbath. One Sabbath, he was going through grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.' Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man who was there had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger and was grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." God blesses the reading and the hearing of his word. Amen. Well, it's June already. It's June. I couldn't believe it when my calendar flipped over and the month of May had gone by. And we've been busy the last 3 weeks. We've been packing boxes for our kids and getting them from various cities. And yesterday we moved our middle one into Manhattan, so that's quite an adventure. So summer is a time of busy moving, and it's also a time when we think about vacation and setting some time aside to rest. As I was thinking about that in conjunction with the Sabbath, and I ran across these questions in Boys Life magazine. Does anybody remember Boys Life magazine? All right, I have some diehards, probably some boy moms out there too. That always seemed more fun to me than whatever girl magazines I had. But anyway, here's some questions. And when I say, for example, where do sharks go on summer vacation, you say, where? Okay, let's try that. Where do sharks go on summer vacation?
Where?
Finland. Why don't mummies go on summer vacation?
Why?
They're afraid to relax and unwind. What did the bread do on vacation? It loafed around. All right, this one doesn't fit the pattern. Where did your mom go on her summer vacation? Josh says, Alaska. Monica says, never mind, Alaska myself. Why did Humpty Dumpty have a great fall? To make up for a miserable summer. Where did the sheep go on vacation? The Bahamas. Anyway, well, we could think of summer as a time to rest and recharge and maybe goof around. And if we're honest, though, sometimes our vacations can get so hectic and crazy that we come home from our vacation needing a vacation. Anybody ever do that? Well, the passage we read for this morning, Jesus finds himself embroiled in this controversy with religious leaders, and it's a controversy that's so serious that they decide to conspire to kill him, if you can imagine that. And it's over, of all things, the Sabbath. I had a hard time wrapping my mind around that this week, that this day of rest became the thing that made them want to do away with Jesus. And if we turn back the pages of time and all the way back to the beginning of the scripture, back to Genesis 1, we find that the Lord created the heavens and the earth. And God steps back to survey this glorious work of creation. And he says, in fact, the scriptures say, he doesn't just say, he exclaims, he declares, "This is very good. This is very good." And you know what God did after 6 days of working to create the heaven and the earth? He rested. And God takes that seventh day off, and he declares that humankind will do the same. We'll take some time away from their work each week to rest. And we know that even in our culture, with all of its frantic activity, we know better, right? That we need to take that time away in order to be productive again, in order to be alert, and to be able to do the things that we do in our work. And this time that's set aside for rest and to refresh our body and our soul, God calls the Sabbath. And the scriptures declare that this space of time, this expanse of time, is holy. It's sacred. It's holy, it's sacred, it's essential. But in our scripture for this morning, Jesus and his disciples are making their way on their mission. They've been out throughout the day, and they're making their way through a grain field, and there are no McDonald's. There is no Panera Bread. The only food available to them is the leftover grain that they find along the way. And the disciples decide that they're going to pick some of this grain because they're hungry. But the Sabbath observance at that time was very, very rigid. And you'll remember that keeping the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. The commandment is very specific. You are to rest. Everyone in your family is to rest. Your workers are to rest. Your servants are to rest. And even your animals were to rest. And any food preparation, the scriptures will tell us, is to be done ahead of the Sabbath. So even food preparation isn't to be done that day. But the Pharisees took this commandment of God and made all sorts of rules around it. And by the point we find Jesus in his ministry, the Pharisees are following Jesus around everywhere. And I imagine them as one of those people with a little clipboard and a little pen behind their ear. They're all set to mark down where he has the slightest infraction. Where is Jesus breaking the rules? That's all they want to know. And so in this case, the scriptures describe how most likely they just took this grain and went like this. And the Pharisees say, "Gotcha. Gotcha. You're doing work. Look, what they are doing is work. Why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" they say. And then Jesus takes them back into an Old Testament passage that for us is kind of obscure. He says, "Don't you remember, even your beloved King David at one time went into the temple and took the bread of presence and fed it to his followers because he didn't want them to starve." In other words, even eating that sacred bread, the bread of presence, sometimes called the show bread in the temple, even that was sometimes needed to feed the hungry. "And you've got this all mixed up," Jesus says. "The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath." And then he goes on to say, "I am Lord of the Sabbath." This is not about the letter of the law. This is about a time and a space that God has surrounded with the protection of his grace. And Jesus is saying, if you have people who are hungry, doesn't it make sense that you need to feed them on the Sabbath? And of course, what really makes the Pharisees angry, what really sets them off, is that Jesus chooses then to heal a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. In fact, by the end of our passage this morning, the religious leaders and the Pharisees align themselves with this political sect called the Herodians, people that normally had nothing to do with one another and didn't particularly like each other. They're going to conspire to destroy Jesus. It is lawful to, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? And it is, isn't it ironic that Jesus is reminding them that what the Sabbath is about? They're accusing him of doing work, and yet somehow conspiring to murder him isn't work. Again, Jesus' message is that the whole point of the Sabbath is to bring restoration and healing, and he demonstrates it for them, that there is grace and freedom for their souls. So if the Sabbath is not about rule-keeping, and if Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, what does that mean for us today? What does it mean for you today? Well, our culture, of course, doesn't have too many rules anymore, do we? So in some ways, that's a good thing. But Jesus isn't saying in this passage that Sabbath is a bad idea. He's saying it's part of God's pattern and design. But as our lives go faster and faster, what does it mean for us to practice a day of rest? Well, my hope is participating in this right here today, worship can help us celebrate Sabbath. It's time and it's space in our week that's set apart. It's holy. It's a time when we remember God's compassion for us in Christ. It's God reaching out to us with his presence. It's God seeking to transform and renew us. And yes, God is at work all the time. We forget that God is at work. And so we come together to worship so that we remember. I don't know how many of us are good at setting aside a day to rest. I will admit I'm not too good about it. I can make a confession. How many of you go home from a day like a worship service like this to pay the bills and do the laundry? I see a few of you nodding your heads. All the things you didn't get to during the week. And I know some weeks are like that, but do you ever think about it? That God calls you to a day of rest. And it doesn't have to be Sunday. There's no rules. It could be part of your Saturday. It could be another day of the week, maybe, that you have off of work. God calls you to rest. What's your practice? Marva Don has written extensively about Sabbath rest, and one of the things she says is, one of the greatest gifts of my life as one who serves God is observing the Sabbath. Celebrating a holy day and living in God's rhythm for 6 days of work and one of rest is the best way I know to learn the sense of our call, the way in which God's kingdom reclaims us, revitalizes us, and renews us so that it can reign through us. Before we can engage in the practice of our call, we need to be captured afresh by grace, carried by it, and cared for. I really love that when I read it this week. We are captured afresh by his grace, carried by it, and cared for. How often do you think about your day of rest as a way of just allowing God to care for you? The other thing that Marva Don writes about is that our reality is not the one that we see. When we see the news of war and economic chaos and even the craziness in our own lives, yes, that's one level of reality that we experience, but Sabbath, she says, reminds us that that's not all there is. That the Holy Spirit is always at work, always empowering people to do the work of peace, to do the work of justice. God's Spirit is always at work. Last week, we talked about the Trinity. We talked about this doctrine that we have of the Father, Son, and Spirit all being in relationship with one another, in loving relationship, and that they are always at work, sending, sustaining, creating. The best part about Sabbath may be something a friend of mine wrote recently. He posted, "Sabbath reminds you that God is God and you are not." God is God and you are not. It has nothing to do with being lazy or passive. It's a time God is trying to be God in our lives. And quite simply, it's a time to just let God be God. So I'm going to move on from that thought this morning as we pray. And I pray that this morning you would let God be God. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reminder of the Sabbath. And while we don't want to have a lot of rules about it, we thank you for this pattern, for this call. And we pray that you would teach us to find our rest in you, to find you, the Lord of the Sabbath, really ready and willing to surround us with your protective grace. Lord, help us to find our shelter in you this morning. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.